Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever heard the phrase, "I am woman, hear me roar"? Women, have you ever said the phrase or thought the phrase, "I am woman, hear me roar"? Yep, I see at least one hand going up there. Indeed, there are some days, women, when you feel on top of the world. Things are going well. At home, relationships with your husband, with your children are going wonderful. You and your girlfriends are doing great. You're having great times together over coffee or tea, and you are getting work done on your goals and your projects, and you are feeling wonderful. And you feel like saying, "I am woman, hear me roar." Maybe you feel like Superwoman or Wonder Woman. Maybe there are other days when that's not the case. Maybe instead of feeling like a superwoman or a Wonder Woman, you feel like a super failure. You set your alarm, but it doesn't go off, and you're late and rushing to an appointment. You don't have time to put on that extra dab of makeup. Your coffee is horrible in the morning, and you are grumpy. You're in a bad mood. You're having a bad hair day. You're having a bad emotional day. You're just feeling awful. Things are not going well with your children or your spouse. You have a situation that arises in your home that upsets the whole rhythm of life, and you are not feeling well at all. Maybe you're feeling like your goals are not becoming a reality, and you feel like a failure. And so then when you see that Superwoman or Wonder Woman on TV who has perfect makeup while saving the world, or you see that Mary Kay pink Cadillac drive by, and you think to yourself, "Ah, it's not fair." Or you see that person who's got their own TV show or blog show, and they're talking about how wonderful it is to be a woman, and you just want to say, "Oh, shush." Instead of saying, "I am woman, hear me roar," you're saying, "Dear God, I am a woman, have mercy upon me." Maybe you can relate to Naomi and Ruth in our Old Testament reading for today. We hear about Ruth and Naomi at the first chapter of the book of Ruth, and it doesn't really start out well. We find out that Ruth is married, and she goes off to a foreign land because in her native land of Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, Bet Lechem, the house of bread has no bread for them, and there's a famine in the land, and they go off to a foreign land, and they are displaced. We think for a moment about the people that have been affected by the tornadoes just recently and how they have had to leave. Some of them have had to leave their properties and their houses and not knowing what their houses or property are going to look like when they get back. Well, Ruth heads off to a foreign land with her husband, and then it goes from bad to worse. She's there in the land, and her husband dies. Her two sons get married, and then in the course of time, both of the men pass away. Now, it's a tragedy in any case when you lose a loved one. Those of you that have lost a loved one recently know the pain that you experience. There's the stress levels that come with that on the stress index. Losing a spouse is on the high end of the stress index. But also the pain and the loss, the wishing that that person could be there with you. Anniversaries and special occasions are not the same. So not only are Naomi and her daughters-in-law mourning the loss of their relatives, but also they are in a financial crisis. Because back in their day, there wasn't life insurance. There were no life insurance policies. And when you lose a spouse, and when you lose your husband and your boys, not only do you not have an inheritance, but you lose a lot of your livelihood. And so they're pretty well destitute. So things go from bad to worse. And we can see Naomi's discouragement and bitterness. She is feeling horrible. She talks to the daughters-in-law, who are foreigners, and she says, "Oh, my daughters, please don't go with me." She was going to go back to Bethlehem. It seems like times were improving, but she says, don't come with me. Go back. Try to find happiness, because what can I offer you? Even if I were to have a husband tonight, would you wait for those children to grow up so that you could marry again? No, my daughters, go back. When Naomi comes back to Bethlehem, the women of the town see her and they ask, "Is this Naomi?" And she says, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara." You see, Naomi's name means pleasant. And she says, "Do not call me Naomi, do not call me pleasant, call me Mara," which means bitter. And so we see Naomi, who is bitter, and you can imagine the emotions that Ruth and Orpah are also feeling. But along the way, we see how an all-sufficient Lord is faithful in the lives of Naomi and Ruth. First of all, we see the encouragement that Ruth is to Naomi as Ruth insists upon going with Naomi, and she says this amazing confession of faith in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. When you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And as we see Ruth and Naomi go back to Bethlehem, we see how God provides for them. As those of you that know the story continues, and it's an amazing story. As Ruth goes out and she does some gleaning, one of the provisions that God provided for those that were destitute, for those that were aliens and that were poor, was to do gleaning, where they were able to go into the field that was being harvested and go behind the harvesters, and they were able to carry and pick up the loose grain. And Ruth ends up being in the field of a guy by the name of Boaz. Boaz is a great guy, and Boaz takes care of her. Not only does Boaz allow Ruth to glean, but he takes special interest in her and makes sure that she's protected. He actually pours generously upon her extra grain and provision for her. And she goes back home that evening and reports back to Naomi the blessings which she has received. And Naomi, her mind and her wheels start turning, and she says, interesting. Naomi starts becoming the matchmaker. Because you see, Boaz was in their family clan. He was close enough that they could marry within their family clan. And Boaz was to be what we call the kinsman redeemer. Long story short, fast forward later, Boaz agrees to be the kinsman redeemer and help out. And so what a kinsman redeemer would do is he would marry the widow, and by doing so, would claim back the property so that Ruth would be able to have the property that was in her family line. But then also, Boaz would, with Ruth, provide an heir which would pass down, which would continue that generation. Meaning that the family line of Naomi and Ruth would continue. And what we find out at the end of the book of Ruth is that this family line that is being described is the family line of King David. We see that that Naomi is now rejoicing because of the birth of Ruth and Boaz's child. And the women say to Naomi, the women in the town say, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. For us, then, this is significant because we know that David is a descendant of who? Of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Naomi and Ruth were at their least. They were in a horrible crisis of a situation. And yet in the midst of that, their all-sufficient God proved faithful. Not only did he prove faithful to Naomi and Ruth, but as a result of his faithfulness to them, he also provided for you and for me as Jesus was then born as a descendant of David and also truly God, true God and true man for you and for me. There are times when you may feel at your worst. Your feelings will tell you certain things about your life and your situation. Our feelings can be fickle. Our feelings can lead us down a dark path. But in the middle of all of this, we have an all-sufficient Lord and Savior who is not dependent upon your feelings. Just in Bible study this morning, we were talking about Jesus Christ and the firm foundation that we have in Jesus Christ. God is not fickle like your feelings. But God's promises continue and they prevail. Though you might be weak, your Savior is not. We see that evidenced by the fact that he endured the cross for you, despising its shame, and also rose from the dead. It takes a real Savior to rise from the dead, and you have one. So maybe you feel at your worst right now. Maybe you're in a tough situation. But remember this, you have an all-sufficient Savior. I was talking with my aunt just recently. She's the aunt that lost her husband, my uncle, Uncle Dar, a dear uncle of mine, and he's the one that I went and attended the funeral for, and she was there, and I called her recently and talked with her, and I asked her how she was doing, and she said, boy, it's really tough right now. She said, I miss Uncle Dar. I miss him. And we talked for a while, but what I was so encouraged to hear was the faith that God had given to her in the midst of this difficult, very, very difficult time. She says, yes, it is tough right now, but my Lord is holding me up. My Lord is holding me up. I love to hear that faith that God has given to her expressed to me, which serves as a witness also to me and a reminder to me. And that's what's so neat. We might find ourselves in a situation where we feel weak, helpless, and hopeless, but then we are reminded of the promises in God's firm scriptures that speak of our all-sufficient Savior. And not only does that bring an encouragement to us, it also then allows us to be an encouragement to others. Where we can say, I know how you're feeling. I know that this is a low time in your life, but hang in there. Don't rely on your own strength. But look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. I am so thankful for the women that God has put in my life. And I think of my mother, a mother who has gone through her share of trials and struggles. But along the way, she has proved to be a witness for her Savior Jesus Christ, reminding me and my sisters of God's faithfulness. When I was a little baby, a preemie, 3 pounds, 7 ounces in the hospital, she didn't know what was going to happen, but she trusted in the Lord, and then she got to sing to me those wonderful words, Jesus loves me, this I know. And the words continue, I am weak, but he is strong. I'm also thankful today as we remember the women of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and the witness which they have provided by sharing the gifts that God has given to them for the sake of the gospel. I thank God for all missionaries, but today I want to thank the Lord for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, started in about 1940 or so, and have been faithfully using their mites. The story comes from that, the story of the widow and her two mites, and how those little mites add up for great things for the kingdom. The biennial budget for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League for the years 2015 to 2017 is $2 million. They're hoping to raise $2 million, and they're well on their way to support such projects as clean water and evangelism ministry, a redeeming life maternity home, for training teachers, leaders, and deaconesses at the seminary, for Bible translators, and for outreach to refugee camps. These are among many of the projects that the Lutheran Women's Missionary League has supported. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. The witness that points to Jesus Christ, the all-sufficient Savior. Remember that your value and your success does not come from all of your accomplishments, but it comes as the all-sufficient Savior works through you and in you to His praise and glory. As Paul says, as God points out to Paul, he says, "My power is made perfect through weakness." So this day, I want to remind you that whatever situation you might be going through, remember who you are, baptized child of God, that you have an all-sufficient Savior who will not fail you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.